8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, the senior national team, the Black Stars, dispatched the Copper Bullets of Zambia in the World Cup eliminator at the Babaya Stadium this evening. How would this result help the Stars in the last draw for the qualifiers to Brazil next year? And Nanado asked supporters pressurizing him to go for the party's flag bearership for the third time to cool down as he sees the face of God to direct him on his next political move. Will these early calls create problems in the party? Join me in the next hour as we discuss these issues. You can also join the discussions by text on 0266-677570. 0266-677570. Behind the News is also live on Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, Twin City 94.7 in Takoradi, and Sunrise FM 106.7 in Kofodia. The senior national team, the Black Stars, this evening made themselves and the country proud by clearing the penultimate hurdle to the World Cup in Brazil with a sweet 2-1 victory over their recent nemesis, Zambia. The Chipolopolos of all Copper Bullets had arrived in the country yesterday, brimming with confidence of a surprise victory against the Stars. But as they say in football parlance, football is played on the pitch and in 90 minutes. And as the whistle went for the end of proceedings, it was the Black Stars who supposedly put one foot in Brazil, with the Zambians having to take the next flight home disappointed. The Babayara Stadium in Kumasi was indeed packed to the rafters by an expectant crowd. And when striker Abdul Majid Waris gave the Stars the first goal through a narrow header, the crowd by now thought it was going to be a good day. When Juventus midfielder Kweja Samoa added the second goal through a long range bullet, it seemed all over until the Copper Bullets got a goal in the second half that sent the stadium dead and nearly unsettled the Stars. Let's go to Kumasi and get a first-hand information on what actually transpired on and off the pitch. And Thomas Insowe J has joined us on the line. Good evening, Thomas, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, my sister.
Do we still have fans in and around the stadium celebrating the Stars' victory?
First place, let me say, before I left the place, most of the fans who were there, even though they were happy, they were not too happy about the way the Stars played against Zambia today. The expectation was that Ghana wants to go to Brazil with quite a heavy scoreline. We're looking for a draw or a win. But I don't know whether that was the players had in mind that no matter what, they can either draw or they win to move to the next stage. And the output was not measured through this assertion at all. So the spectators, some of them were going home, even though they were happy, they were not all that happy as they were expecting that spectacular performance from the Stars. So they were moving in twos, in groups, discussing the way forward for the Black Stars. The last group had left the field. I was waiting to see what was happening, having a chat with some of the fans, some of the reactions and all that. So that is what I can say for now, that they are not happy. Because looking at the way the Zambians played, in fact, those who were watching from outside and those of us who were inside were not all that happy, because they're getting to a point. We were praying that the match should end before the certain before the unexpected will happen to Ghana. But at the end of the day, as you rightly put it, we have been able to score the needed two goals to win the three maximum points to give Ghana the chance to move ahead to the next stage of the competition. But there's a lot of work to be done to be able to really qualify to go to Brazil. Because judging from this performance, from the way we were sitting, and from the reaction from soccer fans and some of my colleagues, reporters and journalists, they were not happy about the output at all, even though we won the match.
Well, how about the Zambian fans? Were they disappointed that they could not progress to the next stage?
Yes. You know, the Zambians came in hoping that they could win. But that was a very, very difficult, Herculean task for them, looking at the way Ghana had prepared. So, the few Zambian spectators who were around after the match, in their faces, even though they lost, they didn't disgrace their fans at all. But they are going back home with full assurance that they have a very good team they can trust. So even though they've lost this all-important game, the way they exhibited some experience and tactical football, they did not disgrace their people at all back home in Zambia. So I think they are going home to prepare for the next season, even though this one they have been walked out by Ghana at the end of the 90 minutes. And let me also add that the way the game was flowing in the first half, we had only one yellow card in the first half. That shows that the seriousness, the two teams attached to the match was not there. Until the second half, when the two teams realized that this one can score, and then the other two can also score, and the outcome will not be what the fans will be expecting. So that's where the rough tactics came in. But all in all, the Zambians were up, and then we cannot say that Ghana outplayed them. We cannot say that if Ghana should go ahead to meet Zambia again with the same squad, a different story will be told. But I want to believe also that Coach Kwesi-Appiah was also watching, and probably is going to adopt a different strategy to meet our next team. That I also want to believe is going to be another strong side. So Ghana should not be over complacent about this win. Well, from my personal opinion and from some observations others made, that we should not be complacent at all. Zambia and Brazil is very far from here. So if we can go ahead and win the next match and go to Brazil, then there should be a lot of work that the technical team have to do.
But Thomas, we had ticketing problems earlier. Was it resolved before the match?
Pardon me?
There was a problem with the tickets. Was it resolved before the match?
I did a story yesterday when some people took advantage of the situation and were cheating the fans. They connived with some sports authorities to cheat. But they were able to address it because when I went there this morning to verify whether there had been a solution to what we witnessed yesterday, I saw that those who were cheated yesterday had already being cheated, but the sports authority, looking at the way we handled the story, quickly amended the situation and sold the ticket as it was required. In fact, those who were adding, those who were buying in bulk to go and resell in at a cut-through price, they seized that practice this morning. So the work we did yesterday helped so much. Other than that, it was going to have some effect on the turnout of the match, but because we were able to address it, there wasn't any problem again. So that is why, but you all watch it, the stadium was full. There wasn't a space at all. It's an indication that they were able to address the problem as soon as possible for us to witness a very good match today.
All right, Thomas, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Okay, thank you too.
Thomas Insowa Eje is our correspondent in Kumasi. And let's go over to the phone lines again. Benjamin Willie Graham has joined us on the line. Graham, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, Adonis. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, Graham, when the Zambians got their goal, we saw and heard on television screens that the vociferous crowd had suddenly gone quiet. Was there some jitters that the Zambians would come back and beat us?
Well, the issue here has to do with the fact that a lot of Ghanaians were a bit skeptical about the Zambia and the tactics they were employing. They came with some psychological strength, which of course made some Ghanaians a bit scared. Now, we realized that the Zambians had come with a game plan. The game was more cautiously played in midfield. And for that matter, the free flow of play that we all expected from the two teams, we were not getting it. However, when the Zambians actually got the goal, the fans were scared because they saw that the Zambians were getting straight at the Black Stars, and then they would get a second goal and upset them. Because the Zambians, again, before the game, had said that they were going to fight with the last blood that they have to ensure that they upset the Black Stars. So some of these things actually went into the fans, and they got really scared. But having said that, I realized that the Black Stars, at a point where we're losing concentration, they were giving 40 passes, allowing the Zambians to just have a run at them. And that was basically what the issues were.
Graham, would you say we have money to exorcise the ghost of Zambia, which had recently haunted us?
Well, I think that I would give credit to the players for getting their focus right, because at a point, it was having a toll on the team, and again, the fans who were at the stadium. The Zambians were not giving right information at what time they'd be arriving. They were also refusing to train at the national stadium, the Kumasi Sports Stadium. Again, the Zambians were not too sure what the Ghanaians had planned for them. We were even told that they came home with their witch doctors. When I spoke to some Zambian journalists, they told me that those we thought were witch doctors were actually traditional chiefs who had come to Ghana for some exchange programs. And so some of these issues head into the minds of most fans here, and they actually assumed that the Zambians were going to have a field day. But let me be honest to you that the Zambians really played a comfortable game. They were so brave with themselves. They were not perturbed at all with the intimidation of the fans and the noise that were going on in the stadium. And for that matter, that at a point had a negative effect on the Black Stars. But having said that, again, I thought that the Black Stars managed to get the acts right, play the normal game that they expected to play, and then they got the two goals for us.
Great. Do we still have fans in and around the stadium celebrating the Stars' victory?
Yeah, I do have a lot of fans who are currently in the stadium enjoying themselves and having a lot of cheers. And you really want to have a word with some of them, right?
But again, we saw the stadium fully packed. Does it mean that ticketing problem did not affect attendance?
I'm not too sure we had a ticketing problem because, one, most people came to the stands or to the stadium to get their tickets. Some didn't get yesterday, even though we were told that when you go to the black market, you get it for a higher price. Fans were not too perturbed about that. They went out there and got it from the higher price that they were expected. But I remember that the ticket that was supposed to go for 4 cities eventually went for about 10 cities and 20 cities. And the one that was supposed to go for 20 cities had to go for 60 Ghana cities. But people were eager to watch the game because they wanted to make sure that they brush aside the Zambians and for Ghana to qualify. So they were not too worried about the price of the ticket. Even if it was 100 Ghana cities, they were going to buy it and show that, and jump to the stadium to set the Black Stars up to get for a victory. So they were not too perturbed at all about the price of the ticket. So which amount was being sold, they were ready to get it.
Well, so where do the Stars go from here?
Well, we have a playoff to go, and we are waiting patiently for the draw, which of course the best 5 teams to be seeded, and we see which of the teams the Black Stars will be playing. But of course, a lot of Ghanaians are hoping that we get a very mild team to play and then qualify.
Great, many thanks for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Agatha.
Benjamin Willie Graham is Radio Ghana's correspondent in Kumasi. And let's also speak to Ace football analyst Carl Tufour, who I'm sure closely observed the game from afar. Good evening, Carl, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, and the pleasure is mine.
Were you by any way shaken when the Zambians got a goal in the second half and thought we are in for trouble?
Well, I thought on the basis of the second half performance, I thought that the Zambians did deserve a goal. I thought in the first half we had them on the rack. I thought that we played the football the way it should have been played, and I thought that we gave Ken Mooney, Kennedy Mooney, the Zambian goalkeeper, enough to think around. I think we didn't do that much in the second half. And on the basis of that, I really think that the last 10 minutes were a wee bit nerve-wracking. And also, the performance of one or two individuals was probably not up to the required standard.
Would you say that they lost concentration at some point in time?
I'm not too sure. We always look for excuses about talking about losing concentration. You've got to give credit to the other team for closing down the spaces that were there at the, or were visibly obvious in the first half, for really not giving us the opportunity to play the ball, and more importantly, finding out where the loopholes were, and of course, making sure that they exploited them on the chance that came. I thought that the goalkeeper, Fatawu, simply was not good enough, and maybe for the match against Japan, we need to try the other goalkeepers and see, just in case, if Gauda doesn't come up for trumps, we will have at least a good and adequate deputy.
Well, Carl, what difference, in your opinion, did the players who stayed there come back make to today's match? And I'm talking about Dede and Essien.
I really don't think they made much of a difference. Let's be blunt about it. They could have not been there. We still would have won based on what we did in the first half, and particularly from that superb goal by Kudasama. And in the case of Essien, he didn't even play the whole match. He came on midway through the second half, so clearly not exactly he set the hair on fire. So I don't think their presence or their absence would have done any difference. They clearly were part of a team that won 2-1. And I'll be a little bit critical about you. I think he was overdoing a few things which were absolutely not necessary. I thought Kudasama had a super game, but I thought Asamoah, that withdrawn rule was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, they were everywhere. The work rate was absolutely phenomenal.
And do you, like others, also feel we have one leg in Brazil by this victory?
No, I don't. I don't think we have one leg in Brazil, because we have no idea who we're going to meet. If we do, if assuming Ethiopia qualifies, if we do get Ethiopia, then I'll say, yes, we've got one leg in Brazil. Assuming Burkina Faso qualifies and we do meet them, I'm convinced that we've got one leg in Brazil. But apart from those two, I'm not too sure whether we've got one leg in Brazil. The good thing, though, is that we won't be meeting Nigeria, assuming they qualify, the Ivory Coast, Egypt, or Algeria, because the top five nations will be seeded to play away first at home. And Ghana, by virtue of the latest FIFA ranking, or with this victory in particular, would have moved, strengthened their position. So, no, we do not have one leg in Brazil. We have to find out what the goal is.
All right, Carl, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
The pleasure is always mine.
Carl Tufour is a football analyst, and also joining us on the line is Joe Addo. He's a former Black Stars defender who was in the stadium to closely monitor events. Good evening, Mr. Addo, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
Well, you monitored events there in Kumasi. How did the players who made a comeback to the Stars fold influence today's game?
Oh, big time. You know, not necessarily their playing ability, but the fact that they were able to, you know, return, you know, galvanize the boys, let the boy know that their unison with them, the team spirit was high. I mean, for me, that was the fact. You know, playing, I know eventually they are going to get associated to themselves and play well. But what I wanted to see was the cohesion of the team, the spirit of the team. And I think Michael's inclusion is very, very crucial. So I was very happy to see him, Kevin, and Andre's back.
Well, now looking at the match, when Ghana scored the first goal, many thought it was not a goal because the ball had crossed the goal line before it was played back in for Warriors to score. Can you tell us if the ball had actually crossed the line before being kicked back?
From where I was sitting, I didn't really see it, but I was looking at the reaction of the linesman. The linesman was standing right on the line because when the ball was floated in, his job was to stay with the last person of the line just before the goalkeeper. And I think the last person was their defender, and then the next one was John Boy. So the linesman had a clear view of where the ball was. So for him not to flag, I just thought that the ball didn't cross. And I could see from the Zambians that they didn't really protest their heart. You know, they were complaining that the ball hit somebody's hand and this and that. But they never complained that the ball crossed the line. So, you know, from where I was sitting, I didn't see it. But I guess it was a good goal. The referee today was very, very harsh on the Ghanaian team. So if the ball had crossed the line, I think he would have whistled for it.
And what do you also make of Kweja Samuel's thunderbolt?
I think he was magnificent. I think when he was coming with the ball, and that is what playing with big teams do for your confidence. As he was coming with the ball in the middle, he saw the defensive line dropping back. So when they were dropping back, the goalkeeper couldn't really see. So he shot the ball. So before the goalkeeper reacted, the ball was in the back of the net. That was a magnificent goal. I think it was individual brilliant, you know. And those are some of the things we need from our team. Even if we are not playing well, we need individuals who can come in and stamp their feet on the game. And he did that. It was very wonderful to see.
But do you also, like others, feel we have one leg in Brazil by this victory?
I think so. I will agree with you. We have one leg. I think the next match that we're going to play will determine if we go or not. And I think it's going to be a very difficult one because what you have to remember is we are playing against all the champions of their group. So it's very, very, very difficult. But I still have hope in our team. I think we have a lot of lapses here and there. I'm believing that we'll be able to fix them before our last game. And hopefully we'll be able to take it. But it's not going to be easy at all.
Well, but what difference, in your opinion, did the players who staged a comeback make to today's match? And I'm talking about Dede and Essien.
If I have to talk about individualism, then I'll be taking the fun away from the team because the team spirit is what makes me like what I saw, you know. I think them coming back to the team says a lot. Now, before the game, I don't know if the television crew showed it, but Kevin Prince went into the flag and ran across the whole length of the field, you know, galvanizing the fans. You know, for me, that's the team spirit that I want. If I want to critique the game, on the day's part, I think he did a very good job because he was given a role by Ethiopia to defend. And that's what he did in the first half. So he didn't really have the freedom to do what the day likes to do because the coach restricted him to man the winger that was hit. I think his name is Nkala or something. One that was hit in the first half. And Dede was able to outplay him, you know. But going forward, he didn't really have creative power to go forward. But all he was doing was defending. Now with Michael, what can I say about Michael? When he came on, the experience showed. The humility showed. He was very, very calm on the ball, very confident. Some of the passes weren't right, but I can understand that because he hasn't played in a while. But you could see the force, you know, that he brings to the team. Even the referee, anytime anybody touches Michael, he's a whistle again. You see, those are some of the things that we need in our team. And I was very, me for one, was very, very happy that he was able to make a comeback to come and help this youthful team because I think a blend of the old ones and the young ones will help us go a long way.
The Zambians got a goal in the second half and many thought we are in for trouble. Did you also feel the same?
I have to tell you the truth. And the truth is that the Zambians did better than us. That is true. I was sitting on the field. I saw what was going on. They have more possession than us. They created chances than us. We're not very fortunate that they scored only one goal. They could have scored a couple. You know, so I will give them the edge that they controlled the midfield. They were able to put passes together that our boys played. You know, and in the end, you see John Boy, any ball that came, he was just trying to clear his lines and just kick the ball out of the area. So I'll give the edge to the Zambians, you know, for possessing the ball and outplaying us in the game. But I think the resilience of our boys says a lot about our team. And even though if we are not playing well, we have the personality, we have the people who can come out and shine on that. We cannot always rest on that, but I think it's a good sentiment to have on the team. So hopefully going forward, we won't let another team dominate us in our home soil. I think eventually Sofiatta is going to change that. Those are some of the observations I had. And I was sitting on song. I was really, really nervous, you know, getting to like 10 minutes to the end. I couldn't sit down. I was very, very nervous. I know most Ghanaians were. But thankfully, we were able to come out with a win. So I'm very, very good.
Then how do we avoid complacency in our next games so that we do not disappoint, we do not get disappointed as we still fight to go to Brazil?
That's a very good point you raised. Complacency is a very, very big word for, I mean, underlying word for this team. I think the way they played in Turkey, coming back from two goals down, I think they have it. They had it in their head. You know, I could see that complacency, a little bit of it on the field. And we as players, when we make mistakes, we know. You know, we don't wait for people to tell us. So I know these guys know they didn't do well. Even when we interviewed the captain of the squad, Samuajan, after the game, he had, you know, said that the Zambians really outplayed them, you know, but for the resilience of them, you know, the cohesion, the togetherness of the team, they were able to sustain all the pressure. So he knows, and I know most of the players know, those who didn't do well know they didn't do well, and they are going to improve on it. So complacency is what we have to hammer and get it out of these guys so we can go to France. What the public has to know is we are on the verge of making history. We'll be the first African country to have a three-peat in the World Cup. It's a big history and a big achievement for our country. And we also have our local coach, who will be the first local appointed coach of Ghana to take us to the World Cup. So we have two histories on our side. And these players know, the technical staff know, the Nyantichi knows because he will also make history. So these people are not taking anything for granted. I know they know what they are after. And the goal is to go to Brazil. So hopefully we are going to get there. But that doesn't mean we don't have to do our homework. We really have to work hard and stop some of the negative things that is hampering the team.
All right.
Especially complacency. So hopefully we'll get it out of there and this team will go further with us.
Many thanks for your time with us. Joe Addo is a former Black Stars defender. And GFA spokesperson Ibrahim Sani Dara was also in Kumasi to watch this all-important match and is joining us on the line. Good evening, Sani, and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Well, does the FA feel a huge burden has been lifted off its head by their victory?
Yes, indeed. It was a huge burden. Every Ghanaian was expecting that we should win the match. That's waiting for the moment to pass. As you can hear, the humming of an aircraft. We are just coming off from Francis en route to Japan, where we are playing the friendly. So, with one battle completed, we look forward to the next battle.
Well, you said we are looking forward to the next two matches, home and away. How are we going to tackle the task ahead?
Well, we are planning for this home and away match by playing Japan in a friendly on Tuesday to give further opportunities for the coach to be able to observe more and more players and see where we went wrong, like Joe pointed out in his interview, and where we can patch things up. We are not taking anything for granted. We are taking every match very, very seriously in ensuring that we qualify.
Well, why didn't Kevin Prince Boateng play today's game?
Kevin had an injury. He landed awkwardly during training, and the doctors were monitoring him to see if he could be fit for the match. But the doctor said he will not be fit for the match, and it's the reason why he did not play.
Well, Sunny, there are also cries for Sule Muntari's invitation for the next and final round of matches, and I'm sure he has not been banished because of that show of disrespect the last time he was substituted.
Yes, it's all forgiven, and everything, you know, has been forgotten, and we move forward as a united team going forward. So we have no problems with him at all. When the coach deems fit to call him, he will call him. Mind you that the coach has the final authority in deciding which players will play and which will not play. It doesn't mean that if a coach doesn't call a player this time, the player is out of the good books of the coach. But the coach decides, ultimately decides who will play in the best interest of the country and who will best serve the country at that particular moment. So if a player is excluded, like Sule Muntari and many other players who are not part of the team, it doesn't mean that they've been excluded from our plans.
Sunny, are we qualifying for Brazil 2014, if you can assure us?
Absolutely, we are qualifying. It's the aim, it's the intention, it's the reason why government is putting in all the money and efforts. The Ghana Football Association is planning so strenuously to ensure that all of these things come to fruition. It is our plan to get this thing done, and we will do it.
It's a pleasure talking to you tonight, Sunny.
Thank you very much.
Ibrahim Sani Dara is GFA spokesperson. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Behind the News is live on Volta Star 91.1 and 91.3 in Ho, Ira Radio 89.5 in Bolgatanga, and Radio Upper West 90.1 in Wab. It looks like NPP presidential candidates for the 2012 elections, Nana Akufo-Addo, is coming under intense pressure from some supporters to stand again for the next general elections in 2016. The pressure is informed by what supporters describe as the mature manner in which Nana Addo accepted the Supreme Court verdict and the commendation he continues to receive for that act. Yet there are others within the party who think it is too early to engineer such a move, since it could threaten the chances of NPP for the 2016 elections. But at a meeting with the Greater Accra executives of the party today, Nana Addo reiterated his decision to stay off politics for some time. He said he is seeking the face of God on his political future. What are the implications of this new development within the party? Behind the News seeks the views of our political analysts and some executives of the NPP. But firstly, Ashanti Regional Chairman of NPP, FF Anto, who supports Nana Addo's third bid. Good evening, Mr. Anto, and welcome to the program.
You are welcome.
Well, why the support for Nana Addo for the third coming, picking him as the party's presidential candidate for election 2016?
Thank you. I mean, NPP is a political party. And one of the major objectives of every political party is to win an election. When you talk about election, we are talking about numbers. The last election, Nana Addo contested, and out of the over 10 million votes that was cast, Nana Addo had 5 million of them. So he appears to be popular. He was defeated by just 300 votes. And even this number was contested at the higher court. And we all saw the judgment that came out of it. So we believe he's the most popular candidate among our people now. And as such, we should try and come back for the 2016 elections. And we should also try and put our act together. So we feel that with a little bit of push, we can win the election. That is my strong belief. Not only me, lots of people in Ashanti region who have got that belief. So that's why we're doing this reflection of what to do next. You should think about the desire of people. If he thinks it's for the people, not for himself.
But there are some who think it's too early now to talk of bringing Nana Addo back again, and that the party should rather look at reorganizing itself after the Supreme Court verdict and strategize for the 2016 election.
Yes, that was part of the strategy. That's part of the strategy. Part of the strategy is that we should get a very formidable candidate. There shouldn't be any primaries. We should allow him to come on the post. Do know that, you see, when people talk about that we're going to conduct elections, if we've been in this party for some time, one factor that brings about factions in this party is during the fundamental election at the polling station level. Let me tell you, if we start the polling stations elections now, people will start to, those people who are wishing to be president candidates, because the electorate is made up of polling station officers, they'll start to influence it. And after the end of it, you will hear, this one belongs to man A, this one belongs to man B. So if you've studied this party well, me, I believe we should even settle on who is going to be our presidential candidate before we go into election. Other than that, the very foundation which this party is supposed to rest on will be distorted. Will be made up of fashion. I've been in this party for quite a long time and know what I'm talking about. When we go into regional elections, there are names. Oh, yeah, Mr. A's people are these guys, Mr. B's people are these guys. It transcends up to the national level. So if you want to talk about unity, you should settle on one person and move forward. And this is my strong belief.
But then how about the argument that by 2016, Nana would be old? And wouldn't that count against him?
Yes. By 2016, Nana would be about 72 years. But age is just numbers. It comes from yourself. If you think you'll be energetic enough, if you think you'll be healthy enough, that's a decision nobody can answer for him. He has to answer for himself. You might be a young person, but you might not be very healthy. I had the opportunity of moving with Nana in the 45 countries in Ashanti during the 2012 elections. In every country, we visited four zones. And that's the time you can judge whether Nana is old or strong. Sitting outside and looking at somebody by his age and judging that he can't do the job will be making a very sad mistake.
But again, let's also look at the assertion that or the argument for and against Nanado's third coming would divide the party and damage your chances for the next general elections.
How are you going to divide the party? The only factor that divides this party is when there are primaries. That divides the party, right? So we should make sure we come out with one candidate. If you want unity to be maintained in this party, it's primary election that divides people in this party. I'm telling you, I've been in this party in 96. I've got involved in all presidential primaries. And I'm telling you the basic point that divides this party is primary elections. People say all sorts of bad things about each other. People fabricate stories about others. And that is the main point. I mean, if we're able to decide on one candidate, then that will be good for us. If you like, compare the 2004 election to 2008 election. You realize that because 2004 had a single candidate, our results were far better than 2008.
Well, what would Nanado bring to your party for election 2016?
I think I've said that already. We want victory. We want victory. We want people who are going to popular support. That's the point. I mean, election is about numbers. So if somebody can pull the people, he's the right person to lead your party.
All right, Ms. Santo, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
It's a pleasure talking to you too.
SF Anto is the Ashanti Regional Chairman of NPP, and Dr. Samuel Yawano is the Eastern Regional Chairman of NPP, and he belongs to the School of Thought, which believes it's too early to call for Nana's third coming. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Well, Doc, what is the basis for your argument that this is not the time to canvass for any presidential aspirant for the 2016 election within the NPP?
Well, I say so because as a regional chairman, I take my cues from what is decided when we meet at the National Council. We've just gone through the Supreme Court hearing. A verdict has come, and our presidential candidate, Nana Adedankwa Akufo-Addo, has accepted the verdict. And he has indicated that he wanted some time off to reflect upon his own political future. We met as a council. He expressed the same comment. And the council at that meeting decided on certain things that we should focus our priorities on. The first was the fact that we needed to bring this Supreme Court's judgment to a logical conclusion. There has been some development since Nanado accepted the verdict and decided that he was not going to seek review. There has been very senior National Democratic Congress legal team, in fact, the head of their legal team, who has alluded to the fact that some of the judgment that was issued by some of the judges could have been prejudiced by their ethnic background. These and other developments as to how the judgment was arrived at caused us even to set up a committee to look at the whole judgment and advise the party. Now, if some of the judges could take such a difficult decision or such important decision based on nothing but, then what about the other judges? On what basis did they arrive at their decisions? Were they purely based on matter of law? Was it based on other ethnic considerations, financial considerations, or other considerations apart from a matter of law? these are things we are going through to address as a party. We have also put attention on whether there should be any other additional electoral reforms. What does the judgment mean? Does it mean that when we go to polls in 2016 and you are able to staff your box with as many votes as possible, then you win? If that is the case, then as a party, we need to strategize and see how we will contest that election. Because of the court case also, our grassroots, the polling station, electoral area, constituencies, and regional level elections have all been put behind. And activities are more or less slowed down. The council also decided to set up a committee to look into this and bring forth timetables and recommendations about how to rejuvenate, how to hold elections at all these levels. There are also constitutional changes going on, which a committee has also been requested to look into. Now, these are the things as a party, when we met, we decided to put our attention to. There is nobody in this party who would say that Nanadu put up his best show, a presidential candidate put up his best show for us. At the moment, he's virtually about the most popular person in the party. So if somebody wants to be mischievous, somebody wants to play the game to his advantage, then they do not want to respect his own wishes, that we should give him time to reflect. I think this whole jump to the radio stations about who the presidential candidate should be will just end up hurting the party rather than we focusing on the things that will unite the party and make the party prepare properly for 2016. I think we are jumping the gun here.
In effect, you also believe that the way some top executives are handling the issue is likely to mar the unity of the party.
It might, because they are forcing other people to come onto radio to discuss the matter. And the choice of a presidential candidate is not a matter that should be discussed on radio at this stage. We expect to give the party elders some time to reflect. We expect to have some backdoor meetings behind the door between the elders of the party, between our presidential candidate and our Draco Akufo-Addo, between him and, let's say, President Kufo, and other senior elders of the party, to try and give direction next time the council meets as to which way the council should be going or the party should be going. But this hurried appeals and throwing the whole thing onto the radios and onto public discussion, I think is too premature.
So you think the party supporters should respect the decision of Nanadu for now?
We should. We should. If we all believe that he led us properly, he's been a very competent and capable leader, then we should give him that respect. And focus on things which would difficult to say. Otherwise, we should follow what the leadership of the party says, what the council says, and this is where the focus should be.
Most party supporters think he's popular, and if given the chance, he might be third time lucky. Isn't that enough to make him start early?
If he is popular, as I mentioned earlier on, that he is, and most of the party members will attest to that. But then why don't you give him the due respect? Give him the space to do the reflection. Give him the space to do the due consultations with other senior members of the party. Why the rush at the cost of all the other things the party should be doing now at this stage?
So, Doc, what should be the way forward in all these exchanges?
I think the way forward will be for all of us to cease fire, to follow what we've all agreed to follow, let the comments, let the attention, the thinking and everything go on bringing a finality to the Supreme Court decision, a finality on if there will be any electoral reforms or not. Let us see how we ginger and waking up our grassroots, the polling stations, constituencies and regional elections and national elections. And then during this period, during this phase, there's a bit of reflection and thinking on the whole issue. And that is the way I think we should go. And leave the issue of leadership for a little bit of consultation at the top to take place also.
Well, Doc, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you also for your time.
Dr. Samuel Yawano is the Eastern Regional Chairman of the NPP. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is live on Unique FM 95.7 in Accra, Ubuntu FM 96.5 in Tema, and in Cape Coast, we are live on Radio Central 92.5. Let's read some of your text messages. Add Napoleon Ntumu says, The Black Stars once again made Ghanaians proud by beating the Chipolopolos by 2-1. And AU Farouk says, we thank the Almighty Allah for seeing Black Stars through. We pray for victory in the next match. And Eric Mankesim also says, Nanado should bow out when the ovation is loudest, as age is not on his side. And congrats Black Stars, and may the good Lord see them through to the World Cup. And that's from Monica Cones in Nauru. Let's go back to our earlier story. And Dr. Aranso Jampo is a senior lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening.
Well, Doc, there seem to be sharp differences within the NPP, those who do not agree with Nanado's third coming. They think it's too early to canvass for him. But could it hurt the chances of the party for election 2016?
You mean early canvassing of support for him?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. The party has just emerged, you know, come out of an election petition. And I think the first thing that they have to do is to try to close their ranks and unite. Do first things first. I think the election petition wasn't supported by all of them, and so you have to bring all on board and try to rebuild the party and do first things first before you think about who will lead the party. But if the current move and the early canvas of support for Nanado, they feel is also strategic, then so be it, because maybe they are trying to send a message to those who may also want to be contenders that that place is not, is a no-go area, and that this is a person who they want to present. And so if anybody is missing that ambition, the person should sell it or something. Of course, now the man is quite popular. Is not quite popular, but very popular. And given the gesture he exhibited after the Supreme Court verdict, I'm sure that even those on the fence, he may have won their admiration and all that. And politics, in presenting a candidate or a flag bearer, you look at so many things, but the key thing is somebody who will be able to win elections for you. And so if they feel he is the best person to be able to contest a certain president, and so they want all others to shelve their ambition, then so be it.
Doc, some supporters of the party think further jostling among executives of the NPP over Nanado's issue could be an inflection of injury on the party itself. Do you agree?
Yes, like I said, this is not the time. The timing, in my view, is wrong. They would have to close their ranks and make sure that the court verdict was thrown out to them. It's quite settled with them, and then all other activities that are aimed or geared towards rebuilding the party have been undertaken first before they come out with this. But others also feel it is strategic to send the message through the name out there again. And in that case, yes, you may have people who may not subscribe to the idea, but you should know that in every political party, in fact, there are supposed to be guaranteed disagreements and dissenting views. And so, naturally, you would have people who would be for and people who would be against it. The most important thing is how the party is able to tolerate these dissenting views and to allow them to exist within the party without necessarily breaking the party.
Now, the other issue is about the court's verdict. You were satisfied that Nanado did not seek review after the verdict, but the party has set up a committee to look at the Supreme Court verdict and is now talking about a review if the need arises. What do you make of this?
Well, they say a review if the need arises. So let's see what their committee, the findings of their committee. I think what Nanado did effectively put the matter to rest. And in my view, the party should concentrate on how they can rebuild themselves to capture political power in future elections. But if they think that if the findings of their committee suggest that they will have to seek a review, they have to be mindful of the fact that unless there is a serious constitutional breach, the Supreme Court would not be bound to take a second look or review its own decision. And so review is not that simple, and review does not guarantee that you will have a verdict in your favor. And so in my view, they should concentrate on rebuilding their party for now.
Well, Doc, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Dr. Ransor Jampo is a senior lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Legon. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. Isaac Yao Edu controlled the sounds, and my producers were Phyllis Kofi, Edmund Tete, Christopher Siedu, John Pobi, and Celestine Avi, and Doreen Anayam Pofu was my summarizer. My name is Agatha Samar. You have a lovely night, and congratulations to the Black Stars.